Begin the current daf, Masechet Zevachim daf Ayin Gimel. Begin in the second line down with the top of the Yavid, where the Gemara continues the discussion with the previous daf, and that is the Gemara had asked a fundamental question on our Mishnah. Our parak opened up that any carbon that's mixed with something that's forbidden, let's say Isur HaNos, something that's even forbidden from having benefit, like a shor and niskal, an ox that has to be stoned because of gourd. So halacha is that the Mishnah said, even if it's one problematic animal is mixed into 10,000 kosher ones that are valid to be for karbanos, they're all going to be invalid to be a carbon. And that asked the Gemara, why don't you say bitl baroi? We always say that something gets nullified in its majority. Here, if you have 1,000 or 10,000 to one, most definitely should be bitl. So the Gemara said, according to Rish Lakish, you could say it's going like Reb Meir, where anyways we say Stam Masnit and Reb Meir, generally anonymous Mishnah is like Reb Meir, because he reads into the words of Reb Meir in the Mishnah Arla that we had quoted in the previous daf, that it's whatever is kosher darkei liman, it's anything that at times could be counted. It's each unit is distinct, so therefore then it's not going to be nullified. So animals, many times, are sold by unit, by each one in particular, and therefore it makes it a chashiva, something distinct, and therefore it cannot be nullified in a mixture. So they're all going to be batel. But the Gemara had asked, according to Rabbi Yechon, who holds, is only esher darkei liman, it's something that only is sold by number. And by animals, sometimes it's sold the whole flock or the herd together. So what are you going to say? Why isn't the bottle? So that Rav Papa had said that the Tana of our Mishnah is actually not like Reb Meir. It's actually like Reb Yehuda according to Reb Yeshua. And that's where our Gemara goes to quote that we see that this opinion holds that even something that's rabbinically prohibited, even that, and even if it's not always counted, even if it's just at times counted, it's sold by unit, that already gives it enough of a chashivas, a distinction, that it's not going to be bottled, even 1,000 or 10,000. The time, like, learned the Braisa, this opinion. Litra ketzias. Litra is a certain weight of a litra, where ketzias are these dried out figs that are dried out in the sun. And after they dry them out, then they press them into a round vessel, and that's why it's called eagle. So the reason why we call them ketzias is also because we're talking about, first of all, the case that the Bryce is talking about is we're talking about the dried figs of Truma, and they would cut it with a type of a tool that was called Miktsaya. That's another reason why it's called Ketsiyas, which is cut off. Shadirasa al Pi Eagle, where they took these dried figs and they pressed them on the mouth of this utensil, this vessel called Eagle. And it's particularly that it said al Pi, by the mouth. And that's going to be intrinsic to the case that's being discussed, because the figs on the bottom part of this vessel are not part of the doubt. The only doubt as we're going to see is regarding the mouth itself, which is that's a distinct area of this eagle. And they took these truma dried figs and they pressed them on the mouth of this eagle. Now the problem is ve'en yedeh be'eza eagle derasa. Now they don't recall. It doesn't recall which. There's many of these eagles. They take it to the marketplace, they sell these dried figs, and they would cut off pieces however much the person wants to buy. Now, he had truma dried figs, which has to be given to the kohen. So he says, okay, you know what? I'll put it in a distinct place, I'll remember it. He put it on the mouth of one of the eagles. He doesn't remember now which one of these round cake vessels that he put the truma ones on his mouth. Or similarly, al pi chavis. Let's say he was using barrels, not these eagles. And he put the truma on the mouth of the barrel. And he doesn't remember which one of his many barrels did he press the dried figs of truma. Or a similar case, al pi kaveris, which is a type of a shape like a hive, like a beehive. And he doesn't remember which mouth of the hive-shaped vessel did he press it on. So what's halacha? So Reb Meir, I mean, he says, and this is machlekes Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda, in the machlik is Rebbe Lezer and Yeshua. I mean, there's two Tanaim, Rebbe Lezer and Yeshua. There's a machlik is Rebbe Meir and Rebbe Yehuda to qualify what were the opinions of that machlik. So Rebbe Meir says the machlik was as follows. Rebbe Lezer, he says, Roynes al yoynes ki iluhin perudais. We view those things which are on the top as if they're separate. Meaning, even though, like we mentioned before, the figs on the bottom are not part of the doubt of this prohibition of the truma, still, that's what the chiddush is, that it's going to combine together with the upper figs to have the necessary measurement, the ratio of 101 to 1 to nullify the iser, meaning the truma that's mixed in over here. And the reason why, even though it's not really mixed together, is because we're lenient, according to Reb Elazar, in this version of Reb Meir, by nullifying the truma of produce, which is only rabbinic. This, we're talking about figs, it's not biblically halacha of truma, it's only by certain things. Rabbinically, it applies to fruits also. So the statement that Rav Meir is saying in Rabbi Eliezer is, what it means when he says ki'ilu heim perudas, as if they're separate, meaning as if all the, we view every one of the litra as if it's separated, and that is as if we view that which on the bottom mixed with that on the top. I mean, although that they're really distinct, we say that no, we view it as if it's separated and then mixed together. And therefore then the bottom figs, which generally shouldn't be related, can't nullify that. No, we're saying we view it all together, and therefore those which are on the bottom could join in the measurement of nullifying that which are on the top. So if you have a ratio of 100 from dried figs to those that are on the pea, which is on the mouth, which are the truma ones, it will nullify it. B'shuaymer, he says more stringent. He says, no, you can't say the bottom figs could combine with the upper ones of that of the Isser, because like we said, that's not part of the doubt of the Isser. The only doubt was which one of the mouths of all these barrels were the dried figs of Truma. So therefore, says Rabbi Shua, if the mouths have enough to be mevatel, then it's going to be mevatel. If not, then the mouths, all of the mouths of all the barrels are going to be Isser. So he says, im yesh me'a pumen, if there's 100 mouths, meaning 100 barrels or 100 of these eagles or of these beehive-shaped vessels, and they're all part of the suffix, because we don't know which mouth of which one of these barrels were the truma figs, but then yalla, then it could nullify it, because you can have the appropriate ratio of nullifying truma of 100 to 1. Then blah, but if not, let's say you only have 50 barrels, then not pumin asurin, then all the mouths of all the barrels are going to be prohibited, but vashulayim mutarin, the bottoms of the barrels are going to be permitted, because again, according to Yeshua, that was never part of the doubt. That's one version. Yehuda Eimer, he says a more stringent interpretation of the machlekes. He quotes Rabbi Elazar Eimer as saying, which was Remeir's version of Rabbi Yeshua, im yesham kuv pumin yal. If there's 100 mouths, meaning there's 100 barrels, and therefore in every barrel there's that mouth, and we're not sure which barrel of which one has the mouth of that of the truma ones, so they're all in that suffix, and therefore you have 100 to 1, so then it's going to nullify it. Vimlav, and if not, hapumin asurin l'chulu, which was etc., like the court of Rabbi Yeshua, then the mouths are all going to be forbidden, but that which on the bottom is going to be permitted. Yeshua Eimer, and this is in Rabbi Yehuda's version of Rabbi Yeshua, who's going to be the Tana that we wanted to say is going to be the Tana of our Mishnah. He says, "Afili yesham shalai shameis pumin loyalu." He says, even if there's 300 mouths, it's still not going to nullify, because he holds anything that at times are counted by its distinct unit, it's not going to be nullified. Now, the mouths of the vessels, at many times, you say, okay, how many mouths are there of the vessels? And that's what you're going to sell. You see that you could sell the mouth as a distinct unit, and therefore, it's not going to be nullified because it's davar chashuv. And here we're talking about a rabbinic issur of truma d'rabbanan, because peiros ha'ilan are only rabbinically truma. Therefore, that was what Rav Papa had said, according to Rabbi Yechon, is going to be the Tana of our Mishnah, where he holds that even rabbinically, for sure, but regarding biblical prohibitions, that even if it only at times it's sold by minyan, which for sure an animal, which the halacha of a Mishnah applies to, is not going to be bottled. Now, continues the brisim, a different case related, drasa be'igel. Let's say the person pressed these figs of truma in this round cake of the figs, which the rest is all chulin, but he had put in the truma one. He thought he's going to remember where it is, so that he can then, when he comes to the market, give it to the kayan. But ve'en yedeh be'ezem makom bigel dras, and I doesn't remember where on the dried round cake of figs did he press it. Oyle tzvayna, oyle drama, wasn't the northern part, wasn't the southern part. Oh, now at this point, the prohibition is not visible anymore, and therefore, it's not distinct anymore to quantify it by unit, because you can't identify it anymore. So therefore, it's going to be batal, and therefore, divrei hakol yalu, according to everyone, it's going to be nullified, because since the iser of truma is not here extant, it's not visible anymore, because it's pressed into the cake all around it from all sides. So therefore, it's not a davish b'minyan, even at all, at any point. So even Rabbi Yeshua would agree that it's going to be nullified. So again, but that was the point that we said that Rabbi Shua, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is the Tana of our Mishnah, according to Rabbi Yechana. Rav Asher says a third approach. Says, Afila Tema, even if you want, you could say the Tana of our Mishnah is the Rabbanan. Rabbanan, we said they say, which we quote on the previous daf in the Mishnah from Masech Desarla, that they said that everything is bottle size, six things, which are certain types of distinguished items, certain type of stalks or barrels or types of nuts, but everything else, including in the case that they had been discussing over there of the fenugreek, and also for regarding animals in our Mishnah, they should generally hold that it does become bottles. How are they going to be the town of a Mishnah that says even in 1,000 to 1 it's not going to be bottle? On that, says Ravashi, balechayim chashivi. Because, not because of units, of numbers, it's just because animals are distinguished, bodily, and therefore they cannot be nullified. It's a chashiv a thing. The halacha of numbers is because it makes it chashiv, it makes it distinct. Distinct cannot say it's now abolished and nullified, it's part of something else. No, it's its own thing. Since it's an animal, it's its own thing, and therefore it's not going to be batal. That's a third interpretation of who the Tana of our Mishnah is, why we don't say that it's batal b'ra'ah. But nothing more continues asking in our Mishnah a different question. The nimshach, but let us draw from the entire herd that's all mixed up, this whole mixture which we have inside over here, something that's forbidden, a prohibited animal, draw one of them, unikariv chad minayu, and then sacrifice one of them, and then afterwards a different one, and so on, and all of them. So take one by one, and then each one, the neiman, you should say the following halachic principle, called the parish, whatever is separated, the halach we know is called mirubi parish. We say that it's coming from the majority. That's the law and the Torah, that when we take something from something, we don't know which one it is. But we say it's probably, that's the law of regarding probability of the halacha of Rav, of called the parish, is mirubi parish. We assume that it's coming from the majority. It's coming from the majority. If you have 1,000 kosher, one non-kosher, so though when it's mixed together, you're saying, okay, we don't say bitl b'ra'ah, we cannot nullify actively that which is mixed in over there, fine. But then take one by one. And each one you're saying it's going to come from the majority and therefore it should be kosher. That's the Gemara. Nimshech? What are you saying? It sounds like you were asking that we should take one by one from the herd? But if that's the case, havalei kavua, what do you mean? When you're taking it, what are you taking from? The animals are stationary, which is called kavua. They're permanent and they're just sitting over there altogether. On that, as the Gemara continues, Tamad Beis, we know that Allah is a chol kavua, whatever is stationary, permanent, kemechza mechza dami, we then view it as if it's 50-50, no matter what the ratio is. As we learn in Masechet Sanhedrin, Masechet Yuma, where it says, v'aravle, when someone has to go and he's liable for the death of someone, as if he lied in ambush for that person, which the Gemara expounds, prat lazarik evan lagoy, that excludes if, let's say, he just threw a rock inside, even if it's 9 Jews and one non-Jew, we say we view it if when they're stationary, each one we say it's a 50-50 chance. Although when you would pull it out, you'd say, okay, it's probably coming from the majority, which are Jews. Here it's going to be exempt because we say 50-50. If we say 50-50, so how's it helping when you're pulling it out? When you're pulling it out, it's not parish. You're taking, what are you taking from? That which is stationary. If you're taking from stationary, then each one we have to say 50-50. We're still back to the subject of the halacha d'oraisa of bringing the prohibited animal as a carbon. Eli rather says the Gemara, no, the question was, nechfeshinu denaydi. You should oppress the animals to make them move so that now they're not kavu anymore. Then once they start moving, then pull one, the name called the parsh, meruba parsh. Now that they had already separated, say that what was separated was from the majority, and therefore you should be able to validate the animals and not say that they should all have the problem of the puzzle one that was mixed in. Nadam Rabbi says, you're right. But gezera, it's a rabbinic decree, right? Technically in halacha that should work. But it's a rabbinic decree, shem yuvo yud kahanim bevas achas v'yikrivu, maybe 10 kahanim are going to come at the same time and sacrifice them. Now, the assumption of the Gemara right now is that the concern is that you're right. Even if you take each one at a time, you're taking meruba parish, and each one will say, okay, so this is a kosher one, this is a kosher one, it can become the majority. Now, the thing is, but if let's say they're going to take 10 of the animals, and they're going to slaughter them, and they're the majority. Let's say there's less than 20 animals over there. So if there's going to be 10 people who are going to do this idea of called the parish, meruba parish. Now, if they're going to all take them and use them for karbanas, and they're the majority of the animals. Now, if 10 kahanim are going to come and spray the blood of those 10 people's karbanas and sacrifice their sacrificial parts at the same time, which this opinion holds Eshel Thompson, and they could be concise and be doing it exactly at the same time. So it comes out that they're going to be sacrificing the majority of that mixture at one time. Now, if that's the case, you have to be concerned that then the prohibited one is part of the majority. Because if you're going to take each one at one time and sacrifice each one first, and then the other one sacrifice the other one, so you can say, but each one, when you're sacrificing the permitted one because it's meruba parish, and the majority are non-problematic. And therefore, it's the one that's prohibited to have benefit is from those which are left over, because it's the majority in regards to that. But now when you're sacrificing the majority at one time, so now you're not leaving over any majority left anymore to say that you have left the Isra Hanah over there. You're going to say that the Isra Hanah is in the majority, because the majority is qualifying that which of the mixture. If you have the majority of the mixture with you, well, then you have to assume that that's the problem, that the Isra Hanah is in over there. When you say called the Parsha Merubah Parsha, it's like, okay, you left the majority over there. And this is coming from the majority of the min, of the species that are there, which are the kosher ones. But here, if you're taking the majority, then we have to say the likelihood is that if you have the majority, then which one has more probability is the majority, that the Isra is in there. And you're going to do that, you can do them all at the same time. Now that's a problem of having the Isra Hanah if one of those 10. So on that, the Gemara asks, Amalei Ahumer Aban L'Rav, he says, but El Me'at, if that's the case, so Megisa Asira, so you're telling me that in the bowl it becomes prohibited? In other words, the bowl where the blood of the carbon is, or the bowl which is holding the sacrificial parts, that's what's prohibiting it now because of the majority? In other words, since you're telling me that from when they draw from the mixture, you're telling me each one individually, since they were running when you made them run away from the flock. So each one you're saying is Meruba Parish, and therefore it's going to be kosher. So now in the bowl, it's going to be possible because you're telling me that, oh, now a different law of majority, a probability, tells me that, okay, if all 10 and there were only 15 animals, and okay, probably that means to say that the prohibited one is in the majority. So now in the bowl, because the sacrifice of the kids is going to become usser, how can you say once you already said it's permitted to now make it usser in the bowl? So now the Gemara says you had a different interpretation. Our concern rabbinically is because maybe 10 kahanim are going to come and take the animals initially at the same time from the herd, and therefore what you have is that the majority were at the same time being taken. So if 10 kahanim are taken at the same time, so that tells us the probability is that one of those kahanim from those 10 took the usher one. Because if we have to assume where's the Isra Hanah one, we would say it's in the majority. And that's our concern to say why it's going to be prohibited. Even though, yeah, you could do one at a time, and even though they're running away, but if all 10 count take it at the same time, now that likelihood is telling us that the Isra Hanah is in there. And that is the Gemara, Basar Kahan Bevasachas Mi Efter. Is that the case you just described that we're concerned for even possible? In other words, regarding the previous interpretation of that we were concerned that maybe they're going to throw the blood or sacrifice it at the same time, you could say that makes sense at the same time. 10 kahanim could be lined up and spray at the same time. But regarding buying them, by taking them, since you're telling me that the only way of halachically validating it is by pressing on them and making the animal start running, and then it's going to be called the parash mubi parash to validate it, but that you can't say at the same time, because that's not possible to be so precise to take it, because since you're telling me that one's running here and one's running here, so you have to run after it, to all 10 kahanim catch the animal that's running at the same time, that doesn't even make sense. So therefore, what is the case that you're asking regarding that you're saying that it's going to be prohibited, when why don't we say that it's going to be validated because it's called the Parsh Meruba Parsh? So Elam HaRav, rather, he gives a different resolution. He says, the rabbinic decree is Mishum Kavua. You're right. If we made them run away, and then you go and run after that, you're going to say each one called the Parsh Meruba Parsh, and each one should be valid. But the concern is that maybe they're going to come to take one at a time when they're not running, and they're going to say, oh, called the Parsh Meruba Parsh. The one I took is from the majority. The majority were kosher, the only one that's Isra Hanah. Now, the problem is, but like we said before, if he's taking from them when they're not running, then actually we say, kol kavu kamechza mechzadami. When it's stationary, you actually give each one the 50-50 chance of being the one that's Isra Hanah, which would be problematic. And because of the concern that the person might not make them run, and then it's going to be taking the biblically prohibited animal because of Isra Hanah, and it's a 50-50 likelihood because since they weren't running, so therefore we even made it forbidden in the case of when they are running. Because of that, you might come to do it when they're not running. Now, Amar Rava, he follows up on this. Hashta Amir Rabbanan Loi Nakav. Now that the rabbis told us not to sacrifice, even though we said technically we could find a valid way of doing it, I Nakav Loi Meratzi. If a person does sacrifice from these animals, it's not going to provide atonement for that person. Which is, and the reason for that is because it was rejected rabbinically. The rabbis say, don't do call the parish Meruba Parish, because you might come to when it's Kavua. So even if someone does call the parish, it's still going to be problematic because rabbinically it was already rejected from the halacha that we know of Dichu, it's rejected. And there's a double chiddush in this, is because even though if one would take it when it is Kavua, it's actually not even biblically prohibited to make it 50-50, because that's only when the Isser is visible. Here, you don't recognize which one is the prohibited item. once we do say that it's nitcha. So actually, as Rashi points out, we're not even going to say chayzim in there, that even if we ultimately find out which ones were the ones that were valid and fit to be sacrificed, once it was rejected from being sacrificed initially because of those which were invalid that was mixed in, it's going to be totally rejected, and it's going to be like it was pasul, like a totally invalid animal. Because Rabbi said it's not valid, and therefore it's not chayzim in there, it cannot be later on validated by figuring out which is the animal. Because Rabbi said it's not good, it's already rejected. On this halacha of Rava, Eitzvei Rav Huna bar Yehuda l'Rava. He asked to Rava from the Mishnah Maseches Kinim. Mishnah says the following case. Chatas shenis arva ba'olav. Let's say a sin offering gets mixed up with an oila offering, or va'olav shenis arva b'chatas, so the other way around, the oila gets mixed into the chatas. And we're talking about over here by bird karbanas, because by animal sacrifices, so when you get mixed up, so just wait till they develop a blemish, they graze and develop blemish, and then you sell them and use it when you need to. But by bird karbanas, there is no such validity by re'iyah of letting it go out to graze, because there is no redemption for the for the sanctity of a bird karban, as the Gemara says, Sechts Menachas Tav Kofa Mebeit. So what you do over here is afil achas beribu, even if one of one type gets mixed into 10,000 of the other type, Yemusukulan, they all have to die. Because what are you supposed to do? You can't do pidyon, you can't redeem it. And moreover, you can't sacrifice them just in case and say whichever one is the right one should be the right one, because the chatas has to go on the bottom, the oil has to go on the top, the oil has to be totally burnt, and the chatas has to be eaten. So you can't do it, you don't know what to do with it, and you can't do the wrong avaida, so they will have to die. Now, says the Mishnah, but medvar mum, when did we say this, they're all going to die? B'koyin nimlach. By a koyin who's consulting with us and asks us what the halach is, and we say, okay, we can't do anything, they will have to die. B'koyin she'in nimlach, but regarding a koyin who did not ask, and Asan Lamalef, he went and he sacrificed them all on the top part of the Mizbeach, so Mechza Kasher, Mechza Pasel. Half is going to be valid, half is going to be invalid, because the Oila that was brought on the top is valid, the Chattas that was brought on the top is invalid. And therefore, then he has to bring one other bird to take the place of the Chattas and sacrifice that on the bottom. Now, it's from this part of the Mishnah that says that half are going to be valid, because ultimately the Oilas that got mixed up are going to be brought on the top. That's a refutation of Rava, because over here, if the Kohen would have asked us, we would have said, don't sacrifice it. Like the Mishnah says, Yemusu, they're supposed to die. Now, but when he does not consult any sacrifices, we see that if it's done halachically, it's going to be valid. It's not like Rava, who Rava said, the rabbis say, don't do it. Don't do it, and even if you do it, it's rejected. But why? Ultimately, after the fact, he did it the right way. He did it called the Parsh Meruba Parsh, and therefore it should be valid, like we see from this Mishnah. And the Mishnah continues, says, let's say the Kohen did not consult and Lamate did on the bottom half. So Mechza Kasher, Mechza Pasel. Half is valid, the one of the Chattas is valid, and the one of the Oila is going to be Pasel. Now let's say Achas Lamate of Achas Lamal. Let's say did one on the bottom, one on the top. Then actually Shneim Pesul, then they're both invalid. Shani Oim, Chattas Kreva Lamal, because I'm going to say, although technically actually both could be kosher, but I'm going to say, we don't know which one was which, that the Chattas Kriva Lamala, maybe he actually brought the Chattas one on the top, Va'ila Kriva Lamata, and the other one he did on the bottom, which is the exact opposite of how they're supposed to be. But one thing again, like we said, which is difficult to Rava, is that we see that even though something rabbinically is prohibited, if one does it, it's going to be kosher, which refutes the teaching of Rava. So Ella rather says the Gemara is not difficult. Why? Because the teaching of Rava was commanded Amma Balichaim Nedachan, was like the opinion who says that live animals could be rejected. He was going in the halacha of our Mishnah, which holds that even if they're live animals, they could be rejected. And if they're rejected, even rabbinically, if they're rejected, it's rejected and it's not Chayzim Nira. The Mishnah Masechtis Kinim is commanded Amma Balichaim Ein Nedachan, is going like the opinion who holds that live animals cannot be rejected, which is a machlekes that's between Rav and Rabbi Yechon, that's brought in the Masechtas Yumin of Samach Dal Min Alf. If a live animal is not rejected, so then, of course, we tell you not to do it because halachically you might be doing the wrong thing. But if you did it, of course it's going to be valid because it was never rejected. A live animal cannot be rejected, and therefore it's not a contradiction to Rav. Rav is going like a different Tanoic opinion. On that is the Gemara, but Harei Shchutin, but regarding slaughtered animals, that everyone, meaning whoever disagrees regarding live animals, if they get rejected or not, they all agree, but if it was slaughtered, and then something problematic happened that you cannot use it, even if it then comes back able to do it, it's already rejected and you can't use it anymore. And yet, as we learn, as the Gemara continues, the top of Aydal Meral, but Tanan, we learn in the Mishnah later on, that was Ein Zayin Meralav, that if, let's say, the kosher limbs of karbanas get mixed up with the limbs of blemished animals, which cannot be sacrificed. So Rabbi Elazar, he says, if the kohen does not consult, Because if he would consult, we tell him you can't bring any because it might be the Balmum limbs over there. But if he doesn't consult and carve Haroish Alech Mehen, and he already sacrificed one of the heads of the limbs, so Yukuvu Kol Haroishim, so then he could already sacrifice all the other heads and all the other limbs, however, get burnt. Same would apply if, let's say, he sacrificed one of the knees. The idea is because we will suspend and say that, okay, could be that the prohibited one was the one that was already sacrificed. And therefore, we could say that all the rest are kosher ones, and therefore they could all be sacrificed. In regards to, however, the rest of the limbs, where we still have that suffix of the iser of the Ivar Balmu mixed in. Now, over here, we had he consulted, we would have said that Yatzla Beis Reifa, they should all be burnt, because you're not allowed to sacrifice any of them, because it might be the doubtful one which has the blemish. But we see the halacha is when he does not consult and he sacrifices one of them, you could suspend that it's a prohibited one that was already sacrificed, and then we validate the other limbs which are similar and it will be meratzah. So you see, not like the halacha that we're saying. You're saying that if it's rejected, then it's not going to be valid. Here we see that even if it's rejected seemingly because it's already sacrificed, and still, if it's done after the fact, it's going to be valid because ultimately we could say that those are the kosher ones. But why is that? Didn't we already reject it before the Kohen sacrificed one of the heads? And that answers the Gemara. That's also not difficult because who? This Rebbe Eliezer we just quoted, the Amar Kachan HaMitzri. He says like Chan HaMitzri, who says that actually even slaughtered animals are not Nidach, and he doesn't hold of the halachic principle of rejection. If you hold of that halachic principle, then yeah, then you'll say like Rava, even rabbinically, once it's rejected, even if biblically he does the right thing, it's rejected. However, this halachic Rebbe Eliezer that's saying it's not rejected, even though we say beforehand, don't do it, the rabbis say don't do it, but if he does one of them now, he can do the rest, that's because he holds like the opinion holds there is no such halacha, even by slaughtered animals, of rejection. The time like learned in Abraisa. Chan HaMitzri Eimei, he says, afil adam b'kais, even if you have the blood of this, well, on Yom Kippur, and there were two se'irim, two he-goats, that were peers, that were bought as a peer, that looked the same, and the same height, and the same look, all types of similar things, and one was brought Sar Lashem, which was slaughtered, and its blood was thrown in the Kodesh HaKodeshim, in the Heichel. And then the other was the Sar LaZazel, which was taken live to the cliff and thrown off the cliff. So on that says Chan HaMitzri, even if the blood of this Sar, which was done inside, that it was slaughtered, because you even have the blood already in the cup, still the halacha is, maybe Chaveroi Umezavikloi. And that is, if let's say the Mishtaleach, the one that has to be sent, died. So the halach is that you need to have a peer, you need to have the Sar Lashem, has to have the Sar Lazazel. So says Chan HaMitzri, what the Kohanim could do, they could go and buy a he-goat from the marketplace on Yom Kippur to go and be a peer for the blood that's already in the cup and to send that new one in place of that Zazel that died. And the chiddush in that is, and that's what we're pointing out, we don't say, well, the Sar Lashem, which was already slaughtered, it was rejected the moment it's partner had died, because you need to have both, and you can't throw the blood until you have the Sar LaZazel, so you should have to bring two new ones, and make a whole new lottery, which one's Lashem, which one's LaZazel. You don't say that, because obviously Chan HaMitzri holds that you don't say Dichui, even if it was already slaughtered, and therefore that's who Reb Eliezer is like, who, even though the animals are all slaughtered, we say you cannot sacrifice any of them, because one of them might be the Baal Mum. If the Kohen, without consulting us, brings one of them, and now we could say, okay, fine, one was already brought, we could then suspend and say that's the Isra one, and the rest are going to be Mutter, and he says, then you could bring the rest. But why, according to Rav's principle, once it was rejected, rabbinically, you cannot, even after the fact, bring it for it to provide Ritzui? That's because they go like the opinion who holds, even if, when it was slaughtered, there's no Dichui. And the mission that we brought in Masechet's Kingdom is saying, no, when it's slaughtered, there's Dichui. But a live animal is not going to be rejected. Rav, however, in the halacha of our mission is going like the mandama, the balichem nidachan, even if they're alive, they're rejected, and therefore the rabbinic principle would apply, since they say, don't bring it, even if you do it the right way, I've called the parash and rabbi parash, it's still going to be possible.